Go with me, if you would, back to Luke 13. The message that I have been given to declare this morning, I spent a little bit of time trying to find the words to describe how important I believe it is. And I can't find them. I wrote some things and scratched it out, and wrote some things and scratched it out. When the Lord gives a message, He gives a burden to tell it. And I feel a great burden to deliver this message as clearly as I can to every person I can tell it to. I believe this is so important. You cannot put a level of importance on one word of God as opposed to another word of God. Every message from God is important. Every single message. But I believe, I honestly believe, that if I were only called to deliver one message, I believe if God only called me one time to tell men and women the truth on their way to meet God, I believe this is the message I would want to bring. I mean that. I wrote all this down, and you'll see me glance at it, but I'm trying to be as honest as I can with you right now. Men and women are going to meet God. And if right now I do a terrible job as a delivery boy, if I mess this up, if I fall flat on my face, I still believe if I only had one opportunity to tell men and women the truth on their way to meet God, I believe this is the message I would want to bring. This is going to be shocking to some people. There's no shock value in it. But this is going to be shocking to some people. This is going to be relieving to some people. Some people are going to be very relieved by this. No matter what the reaction is, every human being must know this. I want us to see what will keep a sinner out of heaven. I want us to see what it is that will cause many to not be able to enter in. Now, our text is one verse. It's Luke 13, verse 24. But let's begin reading in verse 18. Then said our Lord, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged into the branches of it. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds on earth. He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Verse 20, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. He said, it's like a tiny bit of yeast. What is the kingdom of God like? It's like a tiny bit of yeast that you would add to three measures of meal. Verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Now watch verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? This man said, Lord, everything that you are comparing the kingdom of God to is a small thing. Not much of it. Lord, you didn't compare the kingdom of God to the three measures of meal. You compared it to the leaven that went into it. He said, are there few that be saved? That's shocking in and of itself. This man was shocked. The end of verse 23, and the Lord said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. He said in verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, this is how he said it in Matthew's account. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This strait gate is a narrow way. A very narrow way. Luke 13 says, strive to enter in to this narrow way, because many will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. There is only one way that leads unto life. Many are going to seek to enter in to this way. Let me repeat that. There is only one way that leads unto life. Many are going to seek to enter in to this way, but they're not going to be able to. Now, first, let's acknowledge something that I believe we all understand. I believe everybody understands this. Go with me over to John 14. John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. He is the narrow way. He is the straight gate. Most everybody ought to be able to agree on that. I mean, everybody. There shouldn't be any problem declaring that to anybody. You tell them, He's the way. Yep, Jesus is the way. The blood of Jesus is the way. That's right. Even in the height of false religion, one of the most wicked preachers of our day, one who has deceived more people than any I've ever known, he was point blank asked, do you believe that Jesus is the way to God, the only way to God? And he said, I believe Jesus is the only way to God, but there are many ways to Jesus. So he distorted the truth. That's what he did. But he said, I believe Jesus is the only way to God. He said that. So even in the height of religion, that ought to be well accepted. All right? Now, in both Matthew chapter 7, this is important, in both Matthew chapter 7 and in Luke 13, our Lord never said that they were standing at the wrong gate, which is what our minds think. Well, you chose the wrong gate. He never said they were standing at the wrong gate. In Luke 13, he said, they are going to seek to enter in to the straight gate, and they're not going to be able to. They're going to stand there crying, Lord, Lord, we're standing at your gate. You taught in our streets. We preached in your name. And he's going to say, my gate is shut unto you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. They're going to be standing right there at his gate. I don't believe that standing at the wrong gate is going to be the problem for anybody. I believe everybody knows he's the gate. I believe everybody knows that. He's the way. Standing at the wrong gate, that's not the problem. I believe that we all know we must come to him. If we're going to enter into it, I believe everybody knows they must come to him. If he is that straight gate, how do we come to him? We acknowledge the narrow way. And then we come to the narrow way. How do we come to him? Again, I don't believe anybody's going to have any problem with this. I don't believe anybody will disagree with this. I believe this will be widely accepted. Look with me at John 3. John 3, verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. Look with me at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 29, it says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to Romans 10. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How do we come to him? How do we come to this narrow way? We come by faith. I believe we could declare that in any church in this town. I believe I could get out of this pulpit, go into any church in this town, and declare, "He's the way." Amen, brother. Jesus is the way. The blood of Jesus is the way. You must believe on him. Amen, brother. You got to believe on him. I believe that everything we have declared so far would be widely received. I believe it would be received by many, if not all, just about all. If that's the case, why would our Lord say, "Many will seek to enter in to the straight gate"? Many will come, believe God raised him from the dead. Do you know anybody who believes God raised him from the dead, yet they're totally lost? I believe many will come to him, believe God raised him from the dead, and will still not be able to enter in. Why would our Lord say that? Why is the entrance to eternal life? Why is Christ himself described by Christ himself as being so narrow, so difficult, so straight, that many will come and will not be able to enter in? Is it because those particular men and women are too sinful? Does a man or a woman get to the point where he or she is so sinful, just piled so many sins on themselves, carrying a burden of sin so large, it's just getting so large, they can't fit through that tiny little narrow gate? Is that the reason why? That sinner flies right through with ease. That sinner who is so large, carrying all these sins, that sinner has plenty of room. That sinner's comfortable going right through the gate. As a matter of fact, this scripture says the most wicked and vile sinner that has ever lived, the one who could be called the greatest sinner of all time, the chief of sinners, can enter right in and pass right through the gate with ease, absolute ease. That sinner can go all the way to glory with absolute ease. We just sang, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from the Lord Jesus a pardon receives. Who then is he talking about that is not going to be able to enter in? Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 13 says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is going to be shocking. This is going to be shocking to some people. And I pray they hear it. Oh, before God takes me out of this world, I pray some sinners hear this. This is going to be so shocking to some people. This is going to be so relieving. There are some sinners who are going to be so relieved when they hear this. So relieved. It is not a man or a woman's sin that keeps him or her out of the narrow way that leads unto life. Not one sin. Not one sin. It is a man or a woman's own self-righteousness. It's him believing he's worthy to enter in. It's him believing that based on the kind of life he's lived, he is right with God. Because of his good deeds, because of his selfless acts, he can't see any reason why God wouldn't open wide the gate to him and let him walk right on in. That is a self-righteousness. A man or a woman who walks up to the straight gate with a self-righteousness is going to try to enter in. He's going to call to enter in. I'm here. He's going to expect to enter in. But he's not going to be able to. He's not going to be able to. The way to enter in is not, and this is going to be shocking. Oh, I hope some people are shocked by this. The way to enter in is not to get rid of all your sins first and then come to the narrow way, come up to the straight gate. That's not the way. The way is to bring all your sin to the straight gate. That's the way. Come just as you are. Don't fix it. It's broke, but don't fix it. Come just as you are. If a sinner comes carrying one fig leaf, one tiny little fig leaf of his own self-righteousness, his self-work, his self-worth, he's never going to be able to squeeze through that narrow way. It's too narrow. That adds too much. He will not get through with that fig leaf. It's too narrow. But if a sinner comes carrying the load of every single sin he has ever committed in his life, all of them, if he comes condemning himself, begging Christ to have mercy on him and take this load from him and pay the price for all of these with his precious blood, then that sinner comes renouncing his own self-righteousness. That's what he's doing. I have no righteousness. And he comes striving and begging and pleading for the righteousness of Christ. To that sinner, mercy swings the gate wide open. Grace runs out and lays hold on him by the hand and pulls him in. All the way through. Is there any better example than the Pharisee and the publican who went into the temple to pray? The Pharisee went in his own self-righteousness and God said he was not able to enter in. The publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. God said, I tell you, mercy swung the gate wide open for that man. And that sinner was justified. Our Lord said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if God has given us ears to hear that call, if we have been chosen to receive the call of God, you come unto me with your sin, labored and heavy laden. If we've been chosen to receive that call, we are going to respond to that call, crying, Lord Jesus, I come. No man can come to the gate except the Father draw him to the gate. Isn't that right? But every single one will cry, Lord, I come, and I come begging for mercy. I'm a beggar begging for mercy. I honestly believe if this was the only message I was given to preach, if this was the only message, or if this was my last message, if today is my last message, then I would want to close with this. Come to Christ. You come to the straight gate. Come to the narrow way as a sinner who needs a Savior. Don't come if you're not a sinner. If you've thrown all your sins away, go get them. Go gather them all up and carry them to the straight gate, begging for mercy. You come that way. Come in humility. Come in lowliness, begging God for mercy. Come that way. He will in no wise cast you out. That's not just a repeat of a verse of Scripture. That's the promise of God. He will not cast you out. You come in that way. As a sinner in need of great mercy, He'll open the gate to you. He will wash you in His blood. He will robe you in His righteousness. He will welcome you in, and you will find eternal rest for your soul. Eternal rest. Come that way. All right, let's all stand together. Turn with me to 249.